We are talking this morning with Erin Aubrey Kaplan. She's a journalist, been covering black issues for 25 years, including 9 years as a staff writer for LA Weekly and 2 years as a weekly op-ed contributor to the LA Times. She has written a book called I Heart Obama. I guess that's the best way to put it. They have the heart symbol with President Obama's face inside of that. Before we get to that book, what's it like being an op-ed contributor? That must be kind of a fun opportunity for you to kind of think of ideas and try to express and motivate people.
It is, although, you know, for 2 years I was actually a regular columnist, so I had a weekly op-ed, I had a weekly opinion column, and now I actually am a contributor, meaning I'm in there not every week, but here and there.
Well, it gives you time to write a book, right? Isn't that the whole idea? Every journalist has a book that they want to put.
I don't know about every journalist, but I have to say it's always interesting to go from writing, you know, 800 words max to suddenly having more space than you ever thought possible in a book.
Right.
It's great. I mean, it's kind of still to me a great feeling that I get paid to actually say what I think.
Right.
So I always try to be as clear as I can about what I think and why I think it. But no, it's a great. I don't have any complaints. It's nice work if you can get it.
Yep. Well, one of the things to be is expanding beyond the certain number of columns you have in a paper or mm-hmm. to a book is to sort of flesh out those ideas, get them more details, and
yeah.
make sure you're not misunderstood in any way, because you can kind of explain more of what you have. But then, of course, the editing has to come into that. But let's talk about this one. I Heart Obama is an African-American response to President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to kind of come up with this sort of idea and phrase it in such a way that say,
you know,
I love Obama?
Yeah, the I Heart, you know, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I do like, you know, I realized that as I sat down to write this, I thought, what do I really think about Obama? I've been so busy, as have many talking head types, been so busy analyzing what he does and his policies and, you know, what's he going to do, you know, here and there, that I really wanted to look at him as a figure. And he is a remarkable figure in black amongst the black community. I mean, for other people too. But here's a guy who became president. I mean, that wasn't supposed to happen. Nobody was even looking for it to happen. And it was like the sort of, you know, barrier that many people assume might never be broken. And he almost, it seemed to me to be come out of the blue. And so in many ways, you know, Obama's policies, some of the things he's done, I do not agree with. But as a figure, as a black American trying to, you know, sort of trying to integrate, like Jackie Robinson, integrate this space that had never been integrated before, in this case, the White House, was a struggle on many levels. It was a struggle many black people identified with. And, you know, we were sort of feared for Obama and just wondered how the heck he was going to do this. And, you know, he as a symbol, he was just this tremendous symbol of kind of perseverance and struggle and resilience and just this verse we'd never seen. And yet at the same time, he was the president, so therefore he was not a traditional black leader like all the other people we honored this month, you know, in February, Black History Month. And yet right away when he got elected, I saw all around town in Los Angeles and in other places in black communities, Obama's photo, his portrait next to Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, we immediately put him there. And so I was very fascinated to look at, what does this mean? You know, Obama brings so many of these threads together. You know, how do we feel about him? And I also, one of the things I say that one of my big ideas that I came up with is that he's kind of a folk hero. He's an extraordinary first in our history of firsts, but he's also just kind of a regular guy. In some ways, he feels very much like me, like you know, other black middle-class people of my generation who, you know, have these ideals, really in some ways believe in the best of America and feel they have a place in it. And I think he articulates many of us feel about the country, but just kind of put all that aside because, you know, things have been pretty bad lately. So he kind of revived this idealism, at least for a minute, for many of us.
It's interesting, though, that it seems as though all of those titles and those things you placed on him are sometimes things that come over time.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's almost like, to me, it's like when rookies come into a sporting thing, they're the ones that suddenly get the big contract, the big attention, and they're thinking, what about the guys that have been there doing a lot of things all along?
Right.
But it's sort of, you kind of give it the folk hero status, the pop culture, you kind of already put them in line with Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, but you're thinking, what has he done at this point other than get elected president to deserve it? I guess maybe there's a little conflict.
You know,
in
but I'll say, for many people I spoke with for this book, a lot of black people, getting there to the mountaintop, as it were, as Martin Luther King might say, it's not the mountaintop, but it's a high peak, was the most remarkable thing he did. That, you know, and as you know, getting elected president is a huge undertaking. Someone in the book calls it a startup business. That's what it is. And he succeeded at that business, the business of getting elected, going through all the barriers, getting, you know, persuading people he could win, because most black people did not think he could win, thought he was just another, you know, I don't know, upstart, had a nice idea, but it wasn't going to go anywhere. You know, we were not optimistic. And for him to actually break through, I've heard many people tell me that will be his legacy, that will be his historical resonance, that he took up this struggle of getting to the White House, and he did it. Now, of course, it matters what he did in the White House, but that is almost, in a way, for many people, a second conversation. It's just the fact that he made this journey and he got there is amazing still to many of us.
Well, he'll always be there amongst all the presidents. When some young African-American boy or girl looks up, they can see somebody at some point where they say who reflects them, who looks like me, as it were. And sometimes that's all it takes for somebody else to be inspired to be able to do it, because it seems possible.
That's exactly right. I don't know if there will ever be another black president. Maybe not. But the fact he was there and he, you know, for what it's worth, made that space his, left that mark. Yeah, you're right. You know, you look up and you see the 44 presidents, and there's the, you know, one is Barack Obama. Will mean something that, in ways that we can't really calculate now, I don't think. Although it's interesting, on the other side of that, there are some people who admit they're kind of more cynical now than before, because they said, well, you know, he broke through, he got in the White House, he became our first black president, and yet he had so much opposition. It just kind of proves how resistant America is to black people being in charge. And so I've heard, on the other side, pessimism about his legacy, not because of him necessarily, just because of how things have gone and how, you know, the fact that he withstood so much negativity discouraged a lot of people at the same time. But I think you're right. I think his ultimate legacy will be that he was there at all.
Because many times what happens is the years go on, witness the fact that we're, you know, in President's Day month, you have sort of things about presidents that aren't true, but we just remember about them, or you just sort of glance a little bit about what's happening.
Yeah.
But at least there's sort of the bookmark of here's the time when this happened. Mm-hmm. You've written the book again. It's called I Heart Obama. And you sort of a little tongue-in-cheek, because it has that kind of, I don't want to say that odd thing where you take someone's face and you cut the heart, so it loses a little bit of their character, and you just sort of see the eyes and him looking in there. Does this have sort of like a fan or an idolizing? It's a little like a teen idol kind of a thing, a feel to it, in a sense.
You know, that's a very good question. Yes, you know, in some ways, I will say Obama, for me, I describe him as this kind of, you know, he had at one point this rock star kind of quality. I had never seen a black figure have that appeal to so many people on so many levels. It was really heady, that first campaign, where, you know, he was dynamic, and he attracted people. I mean, of course, you know, as a presidential candidate, but also I think just as an American who was putting forth this crazy idea of I'm going to be president, and I think it really fired up people's imaginations. And he was for a time this figure, this kind of rock star figure who appealed to people just for being who he was. And he was this model I'd never seen before. I mean, Jesse Jackson wasn't like that. Other black people that I think of as black leaders, or even just elected officials, never had that kind of charisma, not to me. So he felt like this new kind of entity. And so I did, in a way, fall in love with that, because it was very romantic, in a way. And also, he had this romantic ideal of this country. He said, look, we can all, we can get together. We can realize this ideal that Martin Luther King had, and I'm the guy who can do it. He had this interesting kind of ego. Of course, you have to have a big ego to be president. But I really, really believed that he could be the man to bring us all together. And It didn't really work out that way, but I appreciated the idea. And it made me believe for a moment that, yeah, you know, this really can happen, because it had not happened in my lifetime. And he revived this ideal from the 60s that, you know, there is a beloved community, and I'm gonna define it. I'm going to bring it into being. It kind of the opposite thing happened, but I do quote unquote love Obama. I heart Obama for trying.
Tell me about the Barack Obama, the person. Mm. What were you able to find out about that, or to kind of your perspective of that?
You know, it's a very good question. He is a very interesting public figure. In some ways, he's very emotionally transparent. He's kind of who he is. He seems very comfortable with himself. Another thing, a lot of black Americans appreciated the fact that he was under tremendous pressure, and yet, like a Jackie Robinson, he didn't lose his cool. He was he was always even-handed. Even when things got very bad, so he presented very well. Now, how much of that is a mask? How much of that is him, you know, sort of playing a role in what he's really like? Good question. But I really believe that what we see every day is really who he is. At the same time, I believe that he's wearing what the poet Paul Laurence Dunbar called the mask. All black people wear a mask. You have to. You know, you can't really show how you feel. You can't show your anger. You can't show, you know, your true feelings. Of course, all politicians have this mask, if you will. But Obama had, you know, I think he had to really, really keep it on pretty tight. So I think what's underneath the mask, what he says off camera, if there's such a thing, I don't know. I would love to sit down and have a beer with him, I tell you that.
That seems to be his beverage of choice when it comes to meeting with folks, I guess. And
I think it's all president's beverage of choice. Yeah.
What do you think it's going to be, not his legacy as president, but after it? He's still a young man. His term's coming to an end. You would assume that he's still going to be part of the political landscape or something related, maybe continuing on with, you know, the change that he was looking for 8 years ago. I'm not sure.
That's a really good question. It's the million-dollar question. I have no idea. Obama does not show his hand. He does not, you know, he's the master of wording things carefully, and he has not indicated what he will do after this. I think he's still very focused on his you know, presidency. I personally think he should go to Hollywood because he's a really good performer. You know, he's done his stints on talk shows and this and that, and he's actually got very good timing. And I think he's, in addition to other things, I mean. You know, he's an intellect, and he's taught law and this and that. But I think he really enjoys being on stage. I think he enjoys that performing. And so maybe he ought to explore that. Maybe he'll go more creative. Maybe he'll, you know, go more towards the arts. That would be a big surprise. I don't know. This is really, really the $6 million question, what he will do with his time. I can tell you, he definitely will not, you know, just play golf or something like that. What he does will be very, very telling.
Right. And there may be sometimes as an ex-president that you're able to do that you really can't get done as a president just because of how it's bound or how people expect it. Sometimes ex-presidents can come out with things and people, because of having been president, they've already garnered their respect. And so their opinions can move programs in a different way that they couldn't have as a politician.
Politician. That's very true. Politics, by definition, is just limited. And so look what happened to Jimmy Carter. You know, he served one term, he got out of office, and he was able to, you know, fulfill the things he wanted to do that he just could not do as president. Just, you know, because as president, you have to have, other people have to, you got to work with people, and you have to compromise. And so, you know, people have said he's been a much more effective ex-president than president. And, you know, with Obama, be very, very interested to see what direction he goes in.
Yep, it's one of those things we just have to see how it all plays out. When we first saw him get elected and there was all of that excitement about everything, we didn't really know what was going to come about. And here we are 8 years later. We have kind of an idea of where we're going, yet the country still is an interesting situation. I wonder whether his presidency now sort of paves the way for that possibly a female, a woman president. You know, Hillary is obviously a possibility for that too. Mm-hmm. Whether it does it follow a similar path, or do you think it's kind of just a whole different type of an aspect for something like that?
Well, I think I think now we're so used to Hillary being around that, you know, she's made the argument she would be the first woman president, but that hardly seems groundbreaking anymore, does it? I mean, of course, you know, we must have a woman president. We are half the country, but it doesn't, you know, there are more issues in play now than there were in 2008, and I don't know if that's not going to be the overwhelming reason people vote for her. And now we have Bernie Sanders, who has taken her issues and gone further with
right.
them. People are responding to that because we're in a different place now than we were 8 years ago. So, and by the way, he would be the first Jewish president. So, you know, I think Obama has opened up this path and made the idea of a first woman or a first whatever, first atheist or whatever,
sure.
much more palatable, even though he got a great deal of resistance. He was there for 8 years, and, you know, he was our representative, and he represented the whole country. So he's made this idea very, you know, much more, I think, mainstream than perhaps it was before.
Yeah, very interesting how that does. And I also think that what you said at the beginning about sometimes our presidents come out of nowhere, but they're not on that big list when everybody says, well, who's going to be the next president?
Right.
They come out with this big list of these seven or eight people who
right.
are sometimes retreads or something, and then there's always somebody, if you use the frame shooting star, or somebody who suddenly captures mm-hmm. the moment. They're in touch with what really the voters are looking for at that particular time.
Exactly. There's always the X factor, isn't there?
Yep.
I mean, we think we've got everything planned out and bought and sold, and then something goes, you know, in a different direction.
Exactly.
And so, in fact, they're already calling Bernie, you know, I hear the question now, is Bernie Sanders going to be the Obama of 08? You know, the guy who suddenly takes everything in a different direction. I mean, the guy that people said, oh, that's nice, but he's not going anywhere. But he seems to be going somewhere right now. So, you know, it's very interesting. It's sort of a continuity there, isn't it?
Right. The book is called I Heart Obama. Our guest today has been Aaron Aubrey Kaplan, who has put this book together. Do you still love Heart Obama even after writing this whole book?
And I do. I hope to meet him actually, you know, officially at some point. I came close the one time. Well, you know, I saw him up close, but never met him in person. But I would be happy to do that because I'm as curious as I think most of the country in terms of, you know, really getting to know who Obama really is. I think it's going to be something that's going to be written about long after this book.
Right. No. Well, he's going to write a book, right? Doesn't ex-president, don't they always write a book, or at least two of them?
Probably, but I've heard already. They've already set up a movie starring Will Smith, so that's what I heard.
Now you're already casting it. There's going to be somebody else out there who's going to actually play him beyond that we don't know about. It happens the same way, too. But
right.
We'll find out and see how that all. Who's going to play Michelle? That would be the other one. That's the role.
I don't know. We'd find somebody. But, you know, Obama's story, I guess, you know, from a Hollywood standpoint, it's a great story. He's a great story. So we're probably going to get more than a few Obama iterations of the Obama story. And hopefully, like I said, he'll tell that story himself.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate your time this morning, Aaron. Thanks for sharing the book with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce.